Ladies and gentlemen,
pros and schmoes,
you are listening to
The Come Up. I'll be honest with you, that was a really big poop that I just took. In one push, I had four, like, 8 inches come out.
Good for you.
I'm quite impressed. I feel a lot better, too.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Probably down to, like, 228 now.
What were you at, like, 250?
No.
Oh.
It was 230.
Just looks like 250. Welcome back to the Come Up Podcast. I'm Haley.
Says the bitch wearing a cheeseburger headband.
It's to make you hungry.
It's working.
It's because I can't eat any cheeseburgers, so I wear them on my head.
Okay, bring us into the damn show.
Welcome back to the Come Up Podcast. I'm Haley, and this is Ryan. And today we have on special guest Nadia Wyatt. Nadia just came off of a second place finish at the Arnold in the figure division.
Ballin'.
And she's really challenging Sydney. You know, we talk a lot about how cool it is to be up there with people like Sid Gillen and be, you know, in the running for the Ms. Olympia. So it's a really good interview.
Yep. It is no longer just a thought or, you know, like a figment of her imagination. Nadia has a legitimate chance to be Ms. Olympia, Ms. Figure Olympia now.
For sure.
So
for sure. So TrueNutrition.com. Don't forget to use code ADVICES at checkout. I think they rolled out a new website, too, within the last week or so. I got an email about that.
Nice. I have no clue. I have to check that out.
Okay, that's because I order all the things in our household. But yeah, I think they came out with a new website. I haven't checked it yet because we are fully stocked. But yeah, don't forget code ADVICES at checkout. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at... Wait, what is it again?
The underscore come up underscore podcast.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram there. And don't forget to follow Nadia Wyatt on Instagram at
IFBB underscore figure underscore pro underscore Dia, D-I-A.
Thank you.
Or just search Nadia Wyatt.
Yeah, that works too. Tell us about Mostly Uncensored, Ryan.
Yeah, so Mostly Uncensored. For those of you who enjoy this podcast, and might want a like video aspect of what Haley and I have going on. We have a YouTube, I guess you could call it like a docuseries or like a reality show called Mostly Uncensored. It's basically we're just recording our day-to-day lives, and there's a lot of training information in there and just a bunch of bullshit. It's what the title of the show is, Mostly Uncensored. We just bleep out a few things or cut a few really ridiculous things out, but that's about it. So you can, on YouTube, just search Mostly Uncensored and it should pop up.
Subscribe.
Give it a like.
Don't get offended.
Yeah, well, if you do, we don't care. Just don't watch then, pussy.
So, it's Sunday. What do we have going on this week? Do you have anything fun going on this week? We're 6 weeks out, first of all.
I don't think so. I'm training clients, training myself, prepping.
Yep.
That's it. Oh, we are going to Aaron Lewis concert tonight.
We are.
Yeah. I'm excited for that.
I'm kind of excited.
Yeah. Well, you're a bum.
I'm not good at socializing after 7 p.m.
You don't have to socialize. You literally sit in a chair and listen to a man play guitar.
I know. That's hard for me. But anyways, I'm doing the same things this week, except for I'm also getting some laser therapy done. This week, or last week, I was actually picked up for a little bit of a local sponsorship at Advanced Laser Clinic. So shout out to those guys.
Is that like one of those places where you go and do a bunch of drugs and like listen to Pink Floyd and they have a laser show?
I hope.
or a lightsaber fight?
No, this is for some work on my skin.
That's highly disappointing.
Yeah, so Vanessa at Advanced Laser Clinic is going to hook me up with some laser treatment. We're going to get rid of some of the scarring on my back and on my face. Yeah, as bodybuilders, as people in general, you know, some of us have perfect skin. I am not one of those people dealing with polycystic and acne my whole life. And yeah, I'll update you guys on how that works because I've been really interested in it for a long time. And the stars aligned and it's going to happen this week. So we'll update.
Is Mercury in retrograde? Is that why this is coming together?
Fuck you, dude.
Is it?
I don't fucking know.
You're the girl with a septum piercing. You should know
this.
That means
I know things about Mercury?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Update on prep. Ryan ordered some bodybuilding trunks yesterday.
Yes. It's no longer secret. I didn't get anything fancy. I didn't buy $150 trunks or whatever. I got me $30 pair from Jed North. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. So, yeah. You and all the other fuckboys can have Jed North on.
Yeah. Every fuckboy out there is sponsored by Jed North. I'm like, oh, hey, this guy at the Arnold Amateur, this guy's sponsored by Jed North. Oh, hey, that guy's sponsored by Jed North. What the hell is Jed North? Is that like a Canadian thing?
It is, actually. Oh, okay. It's Canadian.
Makes a lot
that's
of
why,
sense.
Okay, that's why when you purchased your trunks and it said, I got a PayPal notification from Curious Beaver, I was like, what the fuck? That's Canadian and weird.
It's a nice porn site.
Yeah, so anyways, update on prep. I am now not only without carbs, I'm also protein cycling. Coach Veed said, trust me on this one. And I said, all right. So basically, one day I have a normal amount of protein consumption, and on the second day I have a little below that, actually half. So one day is like 3 8-ounce portions of chicken, and the next day is 3 4-ounce portions of chicken. Still with no carbs. So we're hanging in there.
Yeah. I am back to what I was eating like a couple weeks out from the Arnold.
AKA not cheesecake.
AKA hardly anything. I'm down. So in the morning, I'm about 225 fasted. When I go to bed, I'm 230, low 230s. And I'm only eating 5 ounces of chicken with each meal and green vegetables, no carbs. So my body naturally wants to probably be about 240 something pounds. So we really kind of have to starve me to get down there. And so that's one reason I'm kind of excited for Classic Physique to be over after this year, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Unless somehow I get a fucking pro card, that would be cool. And then I get the extra 7 pounds or whatever.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going bodybuilding. Fuck that.
Yeah. I know. Let's hope they don't put, I mean, I know there was talk of putting weight restrictions on women's physique, but let's fucking hope that they don't, because at 5'2", what the fuck would they want me to weigh? Not 140, I'll tell you that.
Probably like 120.
Yeah, fuck.
That would be stupid. Like, you either have the look or you don't.
Well, that's what I was for figure.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. I just think female bodies are different.
I kind of think the weight restrictions in Classic Physique are stupid. You either have a Classic Physique or you don't.
Could you imagine how many more people would do it, though, if there wasn't weight restrictions?
You just need a good criteria and let it be known what you're looking, what the judges are looking for. And if you fit that criteria and you have the best physique, you win.
Maybe like a pre-screen.
No. We're not TSA.
Like at the Arnold, Mike Davies is standing there before, and you walk on stage, he's like, yeah, you're good. Get the fuck out. You're good. Get the fuck out.
Nope. Don't need any TSA of bodybuilding.
Okay. Anything else that you can think of?
Nope. Enjoy the show, motherfuckers.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of The Come Up. I am Haley Delph, and Ryan's sitting across from me. And today we have on second place Arnold figure winner, Nadia Wyatt. How you doing, Nadia?
Yeah, doing great.
Thanks for coming on today, girl.
No problem. I'm excited to chat with you guys.
Yeah, for sure. So let's get right into your background. Tell us where you're located.
So I am from St. Louis, Missouri, and I currently still live in St. Louis, Missouri.
So born and raised in STL?
That is correct.
Yeah. Do you like it there? Is that why you stay there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much stuff to do here. I actually haven't always lived directly in St. Louis. I used to live about 40 minutes outside of St. Louis in a real small town called Washington, Missouri. And I lived there for a few years, and now I'm back, like, in the heart of St. Louis. Like, I'm pretty close to downtown, so.
Nice.
yeah, it was just a nice change of pace from being on the outskirts of St. Louis, because it was definitely like farmland, and you know, you just had your typical bowling alley movie theater.
we totally get that.
That's the worst. Like, was there a gym in Washington?
Yeah, actually, there's a really nice gym in Washington I went to called Competitive Edge, and but that was really like the highlight of Washington.
Well, that's not bad then.
It's kind of like all those guys going over to Kuwait then to Oxygen Gym to like.
Yeah,
exactly what it's like.
Yeah, you have nothing to do. You know, I'm just gonna go to the gym. I'm gonna go bowl. That's it.
Yeah. So, how old are you, Nadia?
I am 28. I think that's the quickest I've ever remembered my age.
Yeah.
Because normally I have to like think about it, but now I'm 28.
Well, after 21, you kind of start forgetting anyways.
not true, because once you after 25, your car insurance goes down. So after 25, it doesn't matter.
So tell us how you got into bodybuilding. Like, did you grow up playing sports, or how did you get your foot into the door?
I have always played sports. I can't remember an age. I mean, obviously, when I like couldn't walk and stuff. But other than that, I don't really remember the time of like not playing sports. Even in elementary school, like I did our basketball, and then in middle school, I did dance team and basketball and track. And high school, I did basketball and track. And then after high school, I ran track for Northwest Missouri State. And then after I got out of school, I needed something to do. So I just started running because that's really the only organized sport that I could figure out how to get into, after school. So I just started doing road races, and I started with like the 5Ks and the 10Ks. Then I did some obstacle races, and then I was like, man, it'd be really cool if I could do like a half marathon or a marathon. So I started training for a half marathon and ended up just doing marathons. So I did two of those, and then I had a friend who was competing in bodybuilding, and I went and watched a show, and it was actually here in St. Louis, the NPC Midwest show. I mean, it was a pro-am because there were pros at that show as well. The one that Jack and Antitoni put that one on every year. So I actually went and watched that show, and I absolutely fell in love with the sport that day. Like, I knew that like there was a such thing as bodybuilding, but I'd never been to a show. I didn't know like where they even had shows, and like it was just something I had never even thought about until I went and watched that show, and I was like, why didn't I think about bodybuilding? Like, that would have been so much more fun than running.
Yeah, meanwhile, here you are killing yourself running marathons.
Yeah, so let's back that up a bit. Fucking marathons?
Right? I tell people that, and they're like, okay. But, like, before I started competing, I was like, 90-something pounds. Like,
holy shit.
I was a legit runner. Like, that's all I did was run.
What were your events in college?
Long jump, triple jump, and sprints.
Gotcha. And so, man, that's so crazy. Because normally then when you train, I mean, that's where you probably got, you know, your leg muscularity from, the sprinting and the jumping. Transitioning into like the endurance side of it, did that atrophy your muscle quite a bit, or were you able to hold on to it?
Oh yeah, no, I had like no muscle.
Damn. So then that's so crazy. Yeah, because your body just adapts to that. So then when you got out of running the long distance stuff and into bodybuilding, did it take a while for your legs to respond then and get back to the size you wanted them to be?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I really didn't have super great legs until like, maybe it started in 2016 and then just kind of got better to the point where they are now. But when I started, they were soft and small. So
all I got to say, Nadia, is last year, speaking of the St. Louis show, 2018, when you walked out and like flared your quads at the back of the stage, you know, before you walked forward, I was like, holy shit, this girl is bringing it. And so like that, for me, when I saw you do that, that set the tone for the show. I'm like, that's going to be tough for somebody to beat.
Hell yeah.
You know? So, yeah, you definitely put some work into them legs then.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk. Well, so that's how you got into bodybuilding and your competitive history. So you won the St. Louis Pro, the one that Ryan was just talking about last year. And the year before that, I know you got second to Wendy, and we've done interviews about that before in St. Louis. But yeah, that had to be really cool to win a show in your hometown. Tell us about that.
So, I loved that it was here in St. Louis because, you know, competing, I don't get to have my friends and family at every show that I do because it's always, I'm in another state. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice to be home and be able to have the support of friends and family. And then, you know, people who, like I said, I lived in like on the outskirts of St. Louis for a while. So like even from the small town that I was in Washington, St. Louis isn't very far, and most people come to St. Louis just about every day for either work or fun or whatever. People who I like kind of just barely knew or like would run into at work were able to kind of keep tabs on the St. Louis show. And so it was just really nice to kind of feel a little more connected and involved in the community with the sport of bodybuilding. So there were so many reasons that I was excited for it to be in St. Louis, and then obviously winning definitely, like, I mean, who's upset about winning?
No, right. One.
And also that show, it was so like I won in 2018, 2017 I was second, and 2016 I was third. Okay. So it had really felt like, you know, I was trying and pushing and getting so close but not quite there. So to do that show and place third, then second, then win, just made it that much sweeter.
Hell yeah. So cool. So let's talk about the Arnold then. That last week, you know, you've got to be feeling good placing second. I mean, there was lots of talk about you really challenging Sydney for that first place trophy. So tell us about, you know, the Arnold just overall. How was your experience?
So I had been to the Arnold before just to like do the whole expo thing because I feel like everyone should do the expo at least once.
It felt like everyone was there.
Yeah, everybody does it once. They're all.
It's like you do it once. And then, so my boyfriend, he went to the Arnold as well. And I go, all right, so the expo, I mean, we need to do it, but you're probably not going to like it. Purely for the fact of like how big it is. Like, I mean, it's a great expo and it's so much fun, but you know, there's so many people and it's real hard to walk anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something I feel like everyone needs to experience and do. And then after that, you can decide how much expo you want to do.
Right.
Coming years.
Yep. We did about 1 hour and we're like, peace out. This is enough. We'll do one hour per year.
You want to wait till Sunday?
Yeah. Right?
Yep.
For real.
This was my first time competing at the Arnold, and I mean, it was definitely a much different experience than, you know, when I went to as a spectator. But I could not be more thrilled with how the Arnold weekend went. I mean, the Arnold committee, it was absolutely amazing. Like, they treat you like you're like super famous.
That's awesome.
Like, one, the hotels are, the athlete hotel was really nice. And then also, we didn't really have to, like, Uber or Lyft places. And I kept hearing that a bunch of people were having, like, issues with Uber and Lyft. Don't know what was going on, but drivers just could not get to people. And I don't know why, but I heard so many stories of, I've had, like, 6 drivers cancel on me, or they can't get here, or you're not on the map, or whatever. The Arnold committee actually had a table that we could go to inside the hotel and just be like, hey, I got a tanning appointment, or hey, I need to go to the grocery store, or I need to go find somewhere to get my nails done. And they would literally take us.
Wow.
And then pick us up. Like, it was awesome.
That's so
that is awesome, because I was one of those people. I competed in the amateur. I was one of those people who the map didn't show up for the Uber driver, you know, in the right spot. So I was like, damn, what the hell? I ended up making it on time, but I was panicking for a little bit. So yeah. I figured it out. Now I just have to become a pro, get invited to the Arnold, and then I'll just have like a chauffeur anytime I need
it. Yeah.
It was so nice. Like the least stressful show weekend ever.
Good.
And, that's awesome. I mean, I got there a couple days early, so I was able to also just kind of like relax and, you know, get situated and didn't have to like rush around and figure out, you know, when I needed to be here and what I needed to do. And like, so it was really nice and relaxing. And then the actual show itself, like it was, and I know everyone always says it was such a smoothly ran show, but it really was. Like they said, hey, you guys are going to be going on stage at noon. And guess what? We went on stage at noon. There was literally wow. for fun, a schedule backstage that was like at 9:17, this is going to happen.
Like, that's fucking dope.
That's so amazing. That's so nice, though. That's so nice. You know, like, how many times have you been at a show where they say, okay, we're going to start at 10 a.m., and then they don't start till 10:32, and then right. they say, hey, you're going to be going on stage at 1 o'clock today, mm-hmm. and so you start pumping up to be able to go on at 1, and then they're like, oh, we're going to have a 15-minute intermission, and then you don't go on till 2:30 anyway.
Right.
Like, you know... I get it. There's the promoters are about the money and stuff, but yeah, sometimes the athletes need a little hand too.
Yeah, so that was really nice. And then finally getting up there on stage was so fun, you know, and being next to Sydney, who, you know, I was also with for the Olympia, like just being compared to Sydney, and especially at the Arnold where it's like direct comparison, like I could tell that they were looking at me and Sydney in the 1 and 2 spot. So even just having that consideration, because I really do love Sydney's physique, like I mean I would say it's a lot similar to mine, but you know, she is a taller, bigger girl, not big like huge or anything, but I'm only 5'1", so everything's bigger. And that she's just so graceful and, you know, looks absolutely incredible. So being able to be even directly compared with her, and it not being like a clear, concise, Sydney should be the winner, that made me feel really good. And like, you know, I was doing something right in this prep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you're right on track there, Nadia. You're on her heels. You're the Olympia's going to be interesting. Let's just say that.
We're excited for the Olympia, because I mean, placing third at the 2018 Olympia was like completely, I'm not gonna say a shock to me, because you know, everyone trains to win, and so I didn't like train to get up there and just kind of do okay, like no one does that. So I mean, being in that top three, I mean it was a huge blessing, but I definitely worked for that. And then I felt like a lot of people weren't expecting me to place as high as I did at the Olympia. So after the Olympia, I really felt like I needed to compete at the Arnold to like kind of make a point and a showing of, hey, it wasn't like a fluke or like an accident that I was up there. I just randomly had this real good prep, or, you know, I wanted to kind of like solidify that I am a really good competitor and, you mm-hmm. know, I'm out here to win. So, because I had applied to the Arnold, I think the last 2 or 3 years, and didn't get the invite. So getting that invite this year, I mean, I knew I really needed to bring my A game to the Arnold so that I could keep getting invited. And they were like, no, thank you. So yeah. And then obviously getting to the Arnold and placing second, definitely helped with kind of solidifying that I am like a legit good competitor. So
I think you've definitely done that, Nadia. I mean, it is crazy when, I mean, you and Sydney obviously have different physiques, but you're so similar. Mm-hmm. Just you know, it's a...
The V-tapers are insane.
Yeah. Just the crazy quads.
Tiny waist.
Tiny waistline. It was really fun to watch you up there. So tell, you know, you said you're 5'1". What's your stage weight?
This year, I was actually pleasantly surprised. My stage weight was 112 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I should just say last year, my stage weight was roughly 108, 109 pounds. So
that's awesome.
Putting on some meat.
112 made me real happy.
Yeah, good gain then. So, yeah, so we'll talk about how, you know, you put that muscle on from last year. But let's talk a little bit more about your Arnold prep and how you prepped yourself for this, Arnold, I understand.
I did. So is first this... time that I, like, officially prepped myself.
Wow.
I kind of started to branch out a little on my own last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't 100% solo. And then this prep for the Arnold was I did 100% my own diet, 100% my own training, my own objective judging of myself every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I think that made this win, or second, I'm going to call it a win because
hell yeah,
not really losing.
No.
This win at the Arnold, it made it that much more like satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's hard to prep yourself. Like, it really is. Like, and so being able to like successfully do that, it's just mind-blowing to me that, you know, I could prep myself and place second at the Arnold. So, I mean, I'm not going to say that I was, like, doubtful of doing my own prep, but, you know, you do have to have that objective view of yourself
mm-hmm.
whenever you are the one who's, like, looking at yourself and making the decisions. So I was just really happy to, like, have a successful prep that I did, like, just for me.
Hell yeah, and look even better than you did at the Olympia, I think. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Was there more emotional and mental stress then, do you think, prepping yourself?
So I'm a very, very, very competitive person,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that a lot of people, not a lot, a lot is the wrong word. I knew that there were some people who did not want to see me do well,
mm-hmm.
For the Arnold, and so I didn't want to look foolish, and that was a really big driving force for me to look the best I had ever looked at the Arnold. So that kind of took the stress component for me away,
mm-hmm.
was, you know, not doing good was not an option. So it wasn't an emotional prep for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of a, this is my diet, I'm going to stick to this. If this isn't working, I'll make these adjustments. So it was definitely more of like a logistic approach to it. And if something wasn't going right, then I need to figure out how to fix it. So it wasn't very emotional because, like, I knew there were people who didn't want me to do well, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't want them to be right. So,
little fuel on the fire.
Hell yeah. I think that's great because so many people, I mean, there's... All of us competitors have people that clap when we win and ones that don't. So, you know, it's how you deal with it. And I think a lot of people get lost in that. You know, when somebody tells you you can't fucking do something, if you let that affect you, then you're never going to be successful. So props to you for that. That's awesome. You're a fighter.
Thank you.
So, yeah, fucking awesome. Let's talk about how you put on some weight in the off season. Understand you have 3 state records in powerlifting now.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about that.
So that is how I spent my off season. I competed, well, my boyfriend, he competes in powerlifting. And that's kind of where the thought came from for me of competing in a powerlifting meet, because it's something that, like, I've always wanted to do. Was just compete in powerlifting just because it's similar to our sport in regards mm-hmm. of, like, working out. And I knew that I was, like, decently strong. So I was just like, it would be fun to do a powerlifting meet and So I had my boyfriend do a powerlifting program for me, and it was like, I want to say 11 weeks, 10 or 11 weeks of training for a powerlifting meet that was in Kansas City, which is not too far. It was like a 3-hour drive or something. So picked this meet in Kansas City. It was literally the very last weekend that I would have had for off season before I needed to start getting ready for my next show. So it was perfect timing. I went to Kansas City. I did the meet. I set the Missouri state record for squat. And I squatted like 378 point something pounds.
Damn. And this is in the 132 class, right?
Yeah, this is in the 132 class.
Wow.
378, not bad.
That's great.
I set the record for deadlift. And that one, I think I pulled another 370 pounds. They also have a record for total, which is where they take your best lifts of the day, your squat, bench, and deadlift, and that's your total. I set the total record as well, and I don't remember, it was like 930 or 40 pounds, somewhere around there. I don't really remember. I set that record too, so that was pretty cool. And then bench, I just did a good job at bench. I benched like 208.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that was pretty fun. It was a great experience and made it even better that I did so well. And
hell yeah. Do you think you're going to do that again, like in your next off season?
So I won't do another powerlifting meet just because, like I said, I'm a very competitive person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to push weight, mm-hmm. like that heavy of weight.
Right.
Because, like, doing that, it definitely, like, increases the chance of me like getting hurt.
Right.
So I'll still train heavy. and I'll still train similarly, to how I did for the powerlifting meet, but I'm not gonna get as heavy. Like, I'm not gonna be squatting another 370 something pounds mm-hmm. anytime soon. So, I mean, I'll still go heavy and train the powerlifting way that I did, but, I'm not going to do the added pressure of winning a powerlifting meet.
Yeah.
You hear that, ladies? Nadia Wyatt, second at the Arnold, third in the world at the Olympia, says train heavy.
Yeah.
You will not look bulkier. That's like a man.
Yeah. So your boyfriend, he's going to try out bodybuilding now, right?
Oh, no.
Have you guys talked about that? Is he totally against it?
Yeah. And it's just not his personality. Like, unless you're like a good friend or like family, like, he kind of seems shy. Like, when I first met him, I was like, do you even talk? Like, so it's just definitely not even anywhere near anything he's interested in doing.
Yeah. Every time, you know, like when I saw you at Meet the Pros at the Arnold and stuff, he's just like, you know, he's just hanging out. I don't think I've heard him say one word, really. That's awesome.
He's just security.
Yeah.
I'll get him to talk to you in St. Louis.
Okay, good. Yeah. we'll find him.
Speaking of, are you shutting, maybe, I don't think we talked about this yet. No. Are you shutting it down for the rest of the year until the Olympia, or are you going to do St. Louis or some other shows?
Oh, no. I am shutting it down.
Good plan. Good plan. You never know, though.
I'll be in attendance at the St. Louis show.
All right.
Okay, good.
We'll both be there. Haley's making her pro debut, and I'll be there doing the amateur. So
I'll be there Friday and Saturday night.
Awesome.
But I have a full-time job, and that's Easter weekend, and I work in retail, so I will not be there for the prejudging on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah, I have that written down to talk to you. Tell us about your job, because I know we're recording now on Sunday morning before you go in today.
Yeah.
And everybody thinks that these elite bodybuilders don't have real jobs.
Right.
So
tell us about this.
Interesting.
I actually hear that pretty often. Like, I remember one day I posted. So I work for Target. I'm a senior manager at the Target close to where I live. And I remember I posted a Snapchat or something at Target, and it was like a work related one. And someone messaged me back, and they're like, "What, you got a job?"
Yep.
Like, I literally just picture you just like working out every day, all day.
Wouldn't that be nice? No.
Yeah, so I have a full-time job. I work for Target, and I've worked for Target for almost 8 years. In July, it'll be 8 years. So, been there for quite some time.
Yeah, I always think that's so funny, too. People think, you know, even if you do have another job, they're like, well, that's just part-time, right? Like, you make your money off bodybuilding. Mm-mm. It's so funny.
It's like, well, especially for, oh, there's our dog. It's like, yeah, you realize this second place check or whatever is like $3,000, you know, and like a normal show.
Right. Gosh. That's awesome, though. I mean, we sponsor ourselves, you know.
Right.
Lucky to have some sponsorships, but really it comes from, you know, making a paycheck. So I think that's awesome. People got to kind of learn to balance that because we all have jobs. Yeah. Okay. So we have some listener questions for you.
Cool.
And I know Ryan has a question for you.
I do have one. I'll ask you while Haley's pulling up these listener questions. So I got a question for you. What was like the switch that went off in your mind to take you from just being, oh, hey, I'm a pro, to being an elite competitor now? Or was it just simply time of the inconsistency of doing the exact same thing every day?
I think a lot of it was just time and consistency. Mm-hmm. And then I'll also add, like, in 2017, like, I did not qualify for the Olympia after qualifying in 2016. And that was a really big switching point for me as well, because, you know, to go from, you know, I started competing in 2014, and as an amateur, I did really, really good. I think I took second at one show, and I took first at every other show that I did, and I did five shows. Fifth was nationals, so my first national show, I got my pro card. So 2014 was amazing. 2015 was my first year competing in the IFBB, and I had three top five finishes. So once again, I was elated with that season. 2016, I won a show and qualified for the Olympia and went to the Olympia. So it was another year that I was just like, you know, on cloud nine. Mm-hmm. And then 2017, I mean, I had two top fives, but I also had one show where I was 12th and another show where I just completely like didn't place in the top 15, and then didn't qualify for the Olympia. So that was, I would honestly say, probably my first like bad year. And I think I had just gotten so comfortable in thinking that, you know, I was just gonna do well because, you know, I was working out and I was dieting and things were going really good. And so when I didn't do well in 2017, that kind of flipped a switch for me, that, you know, there was more that I could do to be a better competitor, and actually put forth more effort than the level that I was at. And I started to kind of think about what I could do to be a better competitor, and kind of focusing on the things that in my mind weren't as important. But at the pro level, like those little things that I'm like, those are secondary. For me, they weren't secondary anymore. I understood that, like, to be an elite pro, you really needed to be on point in all aspects of competing. So I got a new suit sponsor so that I could have like a really nice suit. I got a hair and makeup sponsor because that was an area that I was like, that's not super important. Like, mm-hmm. just hair and makeup. But clearly that's a big part of the show because it, you know, it works for your overall package and presentation. I made a huge focus on recovery for my muscles. So I started doing things like Graston and cupping and cryotherapy and compression therapy and like all these different things to help my body stay in really good shape, so that I could train the way that I needed to train to get the results that I needed to be an elite pro. And then really just that mindset of training to be the best. So I feel like my mindset has kind of just like evolved where it was, you know, I was just doing it for fun. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm doing pretty good. So, you know, I just want to be like good. But then it's a completely different thought process now than versus then, because now, like, I want to be Miss Olympia. I want to be Miss Figure International. So I think the mindset has also changed to get me to be an elite competitor.
Mm-hmm. That's a great answer.
Yeah, that is. That's perfect.
I like how you point out, you know, there's some people that have success, just that's all they have. But it took you, you know, having a quote-unquote failure to really kick your ass into gear, and now you're a completely different person and competitor.
A step back. I totally get it, because, you know, I just did the Arnold Amateur, and I got second call, and I had never, like, I only did one show before, but I got first call out, and I won it. This one, right. They were doing first call outs. I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew it was going to be tough. I mean, this is a tough amateur show with all the international people, you know, but they didn't call me, and I'm standing there. I'm like, fuck, I never want to feel this feeling again.
Right.
Chilling like on the diagonal. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, there was a picture. Somebody captured a picture of me, like the first call out group. And then I was standing on the diagonal line, like off to the side in the background. And I sent it to my coach. I go, I never want to feel this again. So, no, I totally get that.
I like to, you know, that you say you want to be Ms. Olympia. Tell us about that mindset. Like, does it feel weird to you to say that to yourself? Or how do you approach that?
It used to feel weird to say it to myself when I hadn't placed, you know, third at the Olympia or second at the Arnold, when I was still kind of trying to get my foot in the door. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after 2017, I was definitely still at the mindset of I wanted to be Miss Olympia and I wanted to do the Arnold and win the Arnold. But it didn't seem as tangible as it does now. So it definitely, when I started to, you know, have those thoughts and think about that during training, it definitely felt weird at the beginning stages. But I think if you aren't comfortable, like, seeing yourself as whatever your goal is, you know, mine right now is Miss Olympia. If I can't even just, like, picture myself being Miss Olympia, it's real hard to, like, actually attain that. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel weird about it now. And I don't feel like it's a far-fetched idea. It's definitely tangible. It's, you know, and it can happen. So it doesn't feel weird at all for me to think about that or say that to myself. It's weird in the sense of when I started competing, I looked up to, you know, the competitors who were the top in the world and the Olympians. And to be at that spot now, it's amazing and incredible. And when I started, I never thought that, you know, I would be one of those Olympian athletes. But so in that sense, it's a little weird just because of, you know, being amazed at the progress that I've made since I started competing. But in the sense of training to be Miss Olympia, yeah, it's not weird to me at all. It's just a goal.
Mm-hmm. That you have such a cool mix of humility and confidence that I think that's why you're so successful, Nadia. I really hope you get it.
Thank you.
So a few listener questions that we have. So our first one is from Paige Sabedra, and she wants to know, what's your biggest struggle in prep and how did you overcome it?
Biggest prep struggle. I always feel like getting started in prep is difficult for me, just because I get into such a routine of off season or whatever it is that I'm doing that it's work to like break that cycle. 'Cause I mean, it's habit at that point. I've been in off season for months. Mm-hmm. So, getting started is always rough. So I give myself like an extra 2 weeks mm-hmm. of prep, just because, like, I know for me, getting started is really hard. So if I give myself that cushion of the added 2 weeks when I'm starting my prep, that's just what works for me.
Got to get all the junk food out of the house first, right?
terrible. I got to get to all the places that I forgot that I wanted to go to.
Right. Yep,
exactly. Right? That's why I like to do 20 weeks.
And then you still forget. You're like 8 weeks into your diet, like, fuck, I wanted to have that pizza place. I'm right there with you, too. I'm the exact same way. Like, I just, and it, like, I'm probably going to eat my meals exactly how I should, but just like the mental switch doesn't happen for me till, you know, a few weeks in. So let's, I just got your questions too.
Oh, dang.
So another one here from Tegan Timmerman. She says, is there any spot that you knew you really needed to improve on, from last year's Olympia? Like, what was your feedback? I mean, I know you placed third, your best placing so far, but did you get any feedback from that show?
So I had a little bit of feedback from one of the judges in regards to just like posing and presentation. So, and it was mainly just that, I mean, they didn't say it was bad or anything, but they said my physique was really nice and I needed to slow down to actually like show mm-hmm. The physique and like do a really good presentation. So that was the biggest feedback that I walked away with, was being able to kind of slow down my posing and, you know, kind of really pose and not just go through poses, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes my right shoulder is a little lower than my left shoulder. So that was just one of the things that was like kind of mentioned of, hey, you know, kind of watch out for this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But that was something that I was aware of as well. And I think that has to do with when I did track for middle school, high school, and college, long and triple jump were one of the things that I did. And that you have like a arm that you use to kind of help propel yourself. Like there's a whole form to jumping. Mm-hmm. And so years of doing that kind of threw off the balance just a little bit. So that was something that I had already known about as well. So it was really just working on that.
That's that nitpicking at the pro level, man. Like, like, hey, your freaking left shoulder was an inch different. And people are like, what? You know, like, that's what it is.
You're so freaking good that I got to come up with something right. now to tell you to be better at. But no, regarding the posing, like slowing down of posing, that's interesting because I remember watching you guys up there and Sid moved so slow. It was almost annoying, so slow. Mm-hmm. That, but I mean, obviously it worked. So
yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So a few. So I just got your messages. You got some interesting ones here. Right. So did you eat anything special the night before show day or on the day of show day? So basically, like, how do you carb up for your show, I think is what they're asking.
So I don't do like the carb up or anything like that for peak week. Like my meals are the same. Like I eat the same way that I have been eating for however long. I don't try and pull out any crazy stops to like mm-hmm. try and make my body look any different. Like it's 5-6 days before the show. I really don't want to try experimenting and doing things that I've never done before. So my meals stay the same, minus, I mean, I might have some salt or not salt depending on if I water loaded or all that jazz. Mm-hmm. But as far as like special food, anyone who has seen me backstage for the show knows that I always have a 2-pound bag of Sour Patch Kids.
Hell yeah. The big kid one, right?
Oh, yeah. So I use Sour Patch Kids for, you know, my pump backstage when, you know, that's when everyone's like doing rice cakes and jelly or whatever.
Nice.
I definitely have a bag of Sour Patch Kids back there.
fuck those basic rice cakes. Right. Bring on the Sour Patch Kids.
That's right.
So another question here. What's your training regimen for legs and glutes?
So depending on how close the show is, If I'm still pretty far out, I train legs twice a week, just because I feel like legs are an area that separates the top from the bottom competitors. Mm-hmm. So I definitely place more of an emphasis on legs because so many women do struggle to like bring their legs in. So up until about a month out from the show, I'll do legs twice a week. And then about a month out, I'll drop it down to just once every week. And then for cardio, like I do a lot of like plyometrics and stuff, like HIIT cardio further out from the show. But then roughly around like 5-6 weeks out, I just walk on an incline and I don't do any HIIT cardio. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I try to keep them fuller. Well, mm-hmm. because your legs are probably already pretty shredded at that point, right?
Yeah, they're pretty lean. And then I do have to really worry about losing size. And that's all over, not just legs. So I don't like to do as much HIIT and sprints. And because I feel like, you know, my muscles just go so fast.
Right.
Like, so I do a lot more of steady state than I do HIIT. And after a while, I just kind of cut the HIIT cardio off because, mm-hmm. like I said, I do have to worry about size, like, because I feel like it just goes so quick when I do those high intensity mm-hmm. training plans.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense to me.
It really allows your legs to recover too. You know, people don't think about that. I mean, when you're really pounding your legs, I mean, what happens? Inflammation. So mm-hmm. yeah, you gotta kind of taper off, I guess, in a way. But that I like that you say how early you do that, because I think a lot of people just think the week before a show and you're good, but depends on you personally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Okay, so another one. I'm glad this person asked this question because it comes up a lot in my inbox too. So they say, use of PEDs amongst female bodybuilders, when should one start? Ooh. I'll answer this one too, Nadia.
Okay. So I don't think there is I don't have a recommendation of when someone should start mm-hmm. using PEDs.
Second week in the gym.
Yeah. Yesterday.
especially in like the beginning level of competition, like I feel like the people who ask me about PEDs are amateur competitors, or they're just kind of starting out and they look at all these like top physiques and think that there's no way they can get there without using performance enhancing drugs. I feel like that if you're going to do PEDs, like that is like step last. Whatever, however many steps you have, like that's last. Like your diet needs to be on point. Your training needs to be on point. All those little things that I talked about that I said, like, I used to be like, oh, those are secondary. That stuff needs to be on point. I would say to each his own about the performance enhancing drugs. I'm not like saying you're bad if you do or you need to or you should or shouldn't. That's not where I'm coming from at all. It's just, I feel like so many people think that that's like the solution. Like, hey, you know, yeah, I got a shitty diet most of the time and I only go to the gym 3 days a week, but I'm going to take these PEDs and I'm going to be, you know, the next Miss Olympia or, mm-hmm. you know, winning every single show that I do. And that's not the case. It's like, it's a performance enhancing drug. So it's not going to do all these miracles for someone who, you know, doesn't have a good baseline to start out with. And I think people think that it's, you know, you just take these drugs and you look amazing. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case.
Yeah, 100% agree. It's amazing to me how often I do get this question too from my own clients or just from, you know, random people on Instagram. But for the most part, I tell them, you know, have you maxed out your natural potential? And
right.
most of the time, they're like, well, I've been training for a year. And I'm like, well, that's not fucking good enough. You know, it takes years. And I think that a lot of times girls, you know, they listen to their boyfriend or this the dude in the gym that was like, hey, you can just take some Anavar, everything will be fine, you know, and they don't fucking know what they're getting themselves into. It's a commitment, and when you're not able to make a commitment to the time that you spend in the gym or the way that you structure your diet or just the overall commitment to bodybuilding or fitness, then there's no freaking reason to think about getting on gear. Right. And it's not just like an innocent thing that you do. I mean, it can drastically change your body. And I think that it's just not really thought through, and people don't want to take the time to max themselves out. I think that's part of our society. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everything happens so fucking quickly. Like Amazon will deliver something to you today.
It's immediate gratification.
Yeah.
Always.
But that, I mean, you know, it's if you work at something long enough and you are denied, when you get it, it's so much fucking better. So right. It's, I mean, I think people are surprised when I tell them, you know, don't get on them. You know, wait, that should be your absolute, you know, last option if you're not really working your ass off.
Right.
Yep. And make sure if you're going to do PEDs, make sure you're committed to this for a long time. I feel like a lot of the times people ask me like, hey, I think I'm going to start taking some tests. This is a dude or whatever. Start taking some tests. And I'm like, you've been training for 4 months. You're 23 years old. For lack of a better term, you're just a fuck boy who's in the gym right now until you find something better to do a year from now. And then, you right. know, so you start taking all this gear, and then you're just going to ruin your hormones for the rest of your life, and you're never going to train again. So I'm like, just wait.
Yeah, absolutely. So a few more questions here. Someone says, are you planning to qualify for the Olympia? Well, she already has. this one, why did you decide to coach yourself for the Arnold?
So the team that I was with before the Arnold, I was contracted under that team, and being under a contract kind of limited my vision for what I saw for myself in the sport of bodybuilding. So because of that, I decided to not sign and be under contract again. And then as far as like making the decision to coach myself, like I had said, I had already kind of been doing my own thing, even with being under contract with the team I was with before. So since I had been doing my own thing already and having good results, that's when I was like, if I don't do it now, like, I'm probably not gonna ever do my own prep. Because, you know, it's just so comfortable to get someone else to do it. And I mean, obviously there's like a ton of people I could have gone to and been like, hey, will you work with me on prepping for whatever show? But I really wanted to, and I felt like I had a really good idea of what works best for me. And I didn't want to be in another situation where I was at ends or at odds with someone else on deciding what to do to get, you know, the best result. So I just wanted to take that stress part out of the equation, which, I mean, there's different stressors that come along with prepping yourself, but I didn't want the stress of, like, having to do stuff behind someone's back or having to do the opposite of what someone said, and then what if, you know, the result that I thought isn't what happens, or so there was just too much to where I just wanted to do my own thing and see the results for myself.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. The further, I've talked to a lot of athletes that, you know, the further you get into this sport, the more you're making your own decisions and you kind of just have like an objective eye.
It's, right.
You know, so that's really cool. This is an interesting question here. How different is the training for figure athletes compared to bikini athletes?
Well, I've never been a bikini athlete, but I would say I know bikini athletes and I know bikini athletes who train hard. And I really feel like it's just an athlete mentality in general. and you do the division that suits where your body is, and also personality. But like Brina Martinez is a bikini athlete that I absolutely love, and a lot of that is just because of her training. Like, I've watched her training videos, and like the stuff that she does at that UFC gym, and so I mean, she trains like a boss. So I'm sure that especially like the top level bikini athletes that you see, like, they train, they work out. Like, I don't think that they're, you know, in the gym just doing cardio all the time. So
I thought bikini girls were only supposed to do glute kickbacks and lateral dumbbell raises. That's what I've been told.
I'm just going to say amen to that, Nadia.
I know they train pretty hard.
Yep. Yeah, it's so it's crazy to me, you know. Your training obviously is going to make a difference in your physique, but you were given, you have the body you have.
Right.
You know, you and me, we could never get up there in the bikini division.
Oh, no.
Hell no. I'd walk up there and they'd be like, what the hell is this?
What is this ball of muscle?
Yeah. You know, they look at you and they'd be like, okay, get her a figure suit. Jesus. Yeah. I think people underestimate that a lot. You know, your shape and your genetics, that picks your category.
Yes.
You know, and with guys too, and not you're not going to have a really wide-waisted guy do great in classic physique. It's not going to happen.
Right. Well, and then I run into a lot, like, for instance, I got a guy I'm coaching right now online, and he's only done physique shows so far, but he wants to transition to classic physique, and he has the physique where he could go and do that right now. And he sent me a message the other day. He says, hey, just wanted to let you know I'm going to stick in men's physique for this next show, but I'm still going to train like a classic physique guy. And I just wanted to be like, dude. You all train the same. Yeah. It's like, you need to train. Everybody should train like a men's bodybuilder, except for like some of the women's divisions, maybe a little less chest or something. You know what I mean? But you should all train the same and train hard. Your body dictates where you're going to go and your personality. Exactly like you said.
Good answer. So here's some non-bodybuilding questions. These are good. What do you do other than bodybuilding? What are your hobbies?
Well, I enjoy nice long romantic strolls on the beach. I'm kidding.
With your boyfriend that doesn't talk.
On the beaches of the river in St. Louis.
I mean, as far as like a hobby, I don't really have any other hobbies than competing. But I mean, I'm, you know, just a normal person. I'd like to be active. So I really like to do things outside. I mean, even just like trails, like going on walks or whatever, that's fun to me. I really, really like comedians, so I watch a lot of stand-up comedy. I mean that's pretty much it. I just like to eat food and hang out with people.
Awesome.
Did we just become best friends? Do you want to go do karate in the garage?
So do you watch like the Netflix stand-up? Is that are Actually, you on?
I watch Netflix stand-ups.
Have you watched Eliza Schlesinger?
I have not. Oh, wait. Is she the blonde girl?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I did watch her.
She's fucking hilarious. Except for people like our age.
Do you want flatbread?
Yeah. It's so funny because, you know, like, God, you start, like, you're getting close to 30 and, like, the 20-year-old, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Snapchat!
Yeah. So anybody out there, if you haven't watched Eliza, watch her. You're welcome.
Oh, yes.
Who's your favorite comedian?
Oh, man. I like so many. This is... You can't make me pick a favorite. Can I just name some comedians?
Yeah, name some. Like?
Cool. Tom Segura.
Oh, hell yeah. You can't say Jim retard anymore.
Jim Jeffries. Very offensive, but hilarious. Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Yep. Gabriel Iglesias. Family friendly and also funny. Yep. Beyond the Pale is one of my other favorite stand-ups. And that one is, what's that guy's? The Hot Pocket guy. Super pale.
I'd have to see him.
Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah. Okay.
Jim Gaffigan. I just like so many stand-ups. It would be real hard.
That's awesome. You know your shit for sure. That's a lot. Yeah. Okay. So we have another one. They want to know who your influences are, whether in the fitness industry or non-fitness industry related. Who are your biggest like role models or influences in your life?
So in the fitness industry, Candace Lewis Carter is probably my biggest influence, and I started competing because of her. So that show that I was talking about earlier, the St. Louis show that I went to, was the very first time I had ever seen a bodybuilding show, and she actually won the show that I went and watched in St. Louis. And just seeing her and then getting a chance to like meet her and talk to her, like that really helped. Like that gave me my vision of where I wanted to see myself competing in the sport even before I started competing. So Candace Lewis was definitely my biggest influence in the fitness community.
How cool that you only placed one fucking spot behind her last year. Right? That's amazing.
And then outside of the fitness community, I mean, I have mentors that I talk to. Clearly, it wouldn't be anyone that I could say, and someone would be like, oh, okay, yeah, I know her. Because like, personal relationships in my life. But the one that everyone would know from the sport, Candace Lewis, is definitely a big influencer for what I do.
That's awesome. She seems just really sweet and down to earth, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, yeah. That's a good one. So, any more questions? Ryan, did you get any?
I did not, but I got to cut in real quick. I got to go train clients.
Oh.
So I got to bail. So, Nadia, thank you so much for coming on, and Haley will finish you out.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. I'll talk to you in St. Louis.
Okay, bye, Ryan.
Have fun.
Bye, Ryan. See you later. So, for those of you, Sunday, we had Spring Forward last night. So, did that mess with you at all today, Nadia?
Surprisingly, it did not mess with me today. But, however, yesterday when I thought it was Spring Forward, that kind of messed with me.
Oh, fuck. So, you like, change your clocks a day early?
No.
Oh, shit.
I didn't change the clocks or anything just because, you know, I have a cell phone.
Right.
But, so yesterday morning, I was just so tired. Like, I was extra tired when I woke up yesterday morning. And then it was, like, storming and stuff outside. Mm-hmm. And I feel like on rainy days, you kind of just, like, sleep in forever anyway. And if you're going to oversleep, it's probably also a rainy day. Mm-hmm. So when I woke up and it was raining and dreary and I was still tired, but my clock said it was like 10 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I was like, that's right, we sprung forward an hour.
Yeah shit.
So
I know,
I'm thinking we like had already gone ahead our hour, and I walk into the kitchen and the microwave clock says the same thing that my cell phone clock says, that says the same thing that my watch says. Like, and I'm like, oh cool, our microwave reset itself on time.
That's awesome.
And then I got to work later in the day and realized that Spring Forward did not happen.
Oh, God.
And that it's actually today.
That's so awesome. It's so great to have a cell phone that does it for you now. Because I can remember, you know, like growing up, it'd be like, oh, well, don't be late for school. Because you actually have to set your fucking clock. We're spoiled. So one more question for you, and then we'll plug your social media and stuff before we sign out here. Do you have any advice for other athletes, or what's the best advice that you can offer to other people?
The best advice that I could give someone who is seriously wanting to compete is have a strong why. And what I mean by that is know the reason that you're competing. And it needs to be a strong reason, because with this sport, it's so easy to get discouraged, whether that be from placing or just stress from diets or, you know, just not wanting to. Because I don't want to go to the gym every day that I'm supposed to go to the gym. And so if you don't have a strong why, it's so easy to just not go as far as you could go in the sport. Or, you know, to give up or not really reach the potential that you are capable of. So I would say make sure you know why you're getting into the sport.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Nadia. We look forward to seeing you at the Olympia challenging Sid for that the Mizzou title.
I'm so excited.
Well, thanks again, girl. We'll talk to you again soon.
Alrighty, thanks.
All right, have a good day.
Bye.
Bye.